Hello everyone, my name is Fawad Maqbool and I'm the CEO of Amplitech Group. I welcome you to our first investor call. I'm very excited about Amplitech's IP story that you will shortly hear about. But first, let me give you a little background about myself. I'm a biomedical engineer, microwave engineer in specializing in communications, and I've been designing RF microwave components, especially the low noise and special amplifiers for over 30 years now. Many people don't recognize the importance of the kinds of products that we specialize in, but it's our hope today that experts in this field, our friends at IP Capital Group, will be able to give everyone a good idea of the significance of our technology and the very valuable intellectual property that it represents for Amplitech. You will see that our technology plays a big part in applications that we all use and enjoy every day. And AMPG is poised to enter into many areas of the multi-billion dollar high-tech arena. Well, with that brief introduction, I'll give the floor to John Cronin of IP Capital Group so he can give you Amplitech's IP story.
Thanks very much, Fawad, and good afternoon to everyone. This is John Cronin here in Vermont with IP Capital Group, and Seth Cronin is here as well to help out. So we're going to be talking about the IP story. First of all, before we begin, I just want to say that we do not practice law. We work with hundreds of attorneys all over the world. We do what attorneys do not do. We're really working on the business, market, product, tech side of the intellectual property and try to figure out how to put it in a context for people making business decisions. The agenda today would be to introduce IP Capital Group and then the IP story. We'll have some slides here, which we might not spend a lot of time on, but they'll be there in the package and available for all the people on the call. And as well, we're recording this and having this transcribed, so you'll be able to have that as well. But I think you all know Amplitech, so I'll go past that and get to IP Capital Group. IP Capital Group has been around for 21 years. I started the company. My background was originally from IBM. I was there for 18 years. I became the top inventor of the company within a 4 or 5 year time frame, and I created and managed the patent factory of IBM, which grew from 1,000 patents to 3,500 patents a year, and with a secondary licensing team, grew from $20 million to several billion dollars a year in licensing. So I've had the ability to work on lots of different technologies at IBM, as I'm an electrical engineer. And so Amplitech, as we got into it, was a technology we knew very, very well. So we've been working with companies to help them on innovation and IP strategies. We advise them on how to monetize and create more IP. And our processes with our client expertise allows us to figure out how to get the highest returns. And we have serviced a wide range of industries, and we're just about at our 1,000th client this year. As I mentioned, we work with hundreds and hundreds of clients and serve as trusted advisors. We've worked for about 15% of the Fortune 500 companies, but about one-third of our business is like Amplitech, working with early revenue companies or small revenue companies with looking to get more investment and to grow. And what we try to do is help investors and decision makers price in the value of intellectual property. And we have many different areas that we've worked in over the years. I've highlighted semiconductors and telecommunications, which we've done a lot of deals in. Myself, personal background, I've been involved in semiconductors for about 20 years. So next, I'll get into the IP story. But before I do that, I just want to give you an idea of how these IP stories are used and how investors, when they look at them, should take it away from these stories and then where this heads towards the future. First of all, when we look at it, patents and so on, we might be able to read those, but not being an expert, you may have someone want to do some diligence on it. We certainly do that. But one thing you'll never be able to get very easily is an understanding of other parts of intellectual property, like the trade secrets and the value of the publications. So we kind of take a holistic viewpoint of looking at the patents, the trade secrets, and publications of the company, as well as the team and how strong they are from an inventive standpoint. So many times investors using these stories will recognize if the story is very good that having good intellectual property could hedge the bet of the investment. And in the case of Amplitech, we have a very good story, a very powerful story of where Amplitech's technology is. So investors maybe should take away from this that that the story tries to put some very technical information and IP in the context of a business story that allows you to see how it lays out. This framework we call the IP story helps us figure out, first of all, what the IP assets are on the right-hand side. But then we also want to connect it to the business needs. So we go through a series of interactions with the company to understand the business, the market, the product, the technologies, and the assets. And we're trying to align these. So sometimes companies have IP assets that don't align to the business. Sometimes the IP assets directly align to the business. Happy to say that Ampletech's IP assets relate directly to the business. So we will be going through several slides on each of these: business, market, product, technology. But we won't spend as much time in the business and market because they're more easily diligenced the sources of information, third party, that we will include. So I'd like to spend more time on the products, supporting technology, and the IP assets. This slide is a slide that we will show at the end again, but it's the whole story in one slide. One of the things about Ampletech is that it helps improve communications. It helps really scale for high volume markets and for security and reliability. One of the big needs in this business is to do low noise and to get low noise figures of merits to be able to have the best signal to noise ratio. But you need to be able to do that at high volume in manufacturing. And that's not an easy trick, taking noise out of a system and have it be repeatable, because you have to buy components over and over again. And you have to know each component and the quality of it. And you have to pick the right components. But once you can get to high volume manufacturing, you can use this for rather interesting business applications like anti-hackable security and using this in extreme environments. And that's really driven by pretty large markets. If we look at the market, you know, with $400 billion in wireless, $520 billion in Internet of Things, where high-scale volume manufacturing could be. The defense industry itself is $116 billion. And also for extreme environments like quantum computing, which is brand new and headed towards $5.9 billion, and then blockchain is at $1.2 billion. When you translate those markets to products, what you need to deliver, which Ampletech has done and is doing now, to supply low-noise amplifiers to Fortune 500 companies, to the military and government agencies. Basically, the product component should be custom low-noise amplifiers and filter networks. But in those products, you can then drive those towards monolithic microwave integrated circuits. You can actually make integrated circuits to have scaled-up production. Once you do that, you now have the ability to build right into the hardware security systems. And indeed, Ampletech has a product called AmpliDress Security. And this even has applications in cryogenics, where Ampletech's product technology really shines, because it's actually designed for these levels of temperatures, where other low-noise amplifiers would have all sorts of problems being scaled down into those temperatures. Supporting technologies is the very strong technology that they have in terms of the design of these low-noise amplifiers, the manufacturing, and the testing. Figuring out how to get a low-noise amplifier and a filter to work from all the millions of components out there to pick the right components for the right design. And then figuring out how to manufacture it, how to connect them together, how to write to have the right contacts and wires that actually do that. And then how to then translate that to a sort of a fabless design that can be done with MMICs. And then to drive that into a secure chipset that can be driven into cryogenics. So the assets are really kind of interesting. They have a lot of proprietary designs for wireless receiver components. They basically have over 800 trade secrets that we've cataloged into models. These trade secrets cannot be copied, so that's a very valuable asset of Ampletech. Another is they have a lot of trade secret know-how and algorithms on the filter network miniaturization. And number three, they have a lot of trade secret and know-how on the manufacturing, testing, and suppliers. On the other hand, we get towards other areas of the assets that are patentable. We believe that they have patentable assets in the MMIC design, the chipsets, and the manufacturer, and also patentable designs as they scale it down into cryogenics. And to the far right, you see some of the 11 different patentable inventions that we'll talk about a little bit later. But inventions that have to do with systems of MMICs and hardware security, number six, or in number 10, systems for cryogenic amplifiers. Before I move on for this slide, we uncovered a very powerful feedback loop. And that is that once they design a product using the IP assets of the trade secrets, which nobody can get, that they can literally patent the product going out the door without the know-how of how it was designed or built. That then produces new IP and also then gives new ideas for new products. So every new product that goes out the door is covered by trade secrets and will be covered by patents, but further creates new trade secrets and new patentable inventions that can help create new products. And that's a very strong feedback loop that the company has to grow. One of the interesting things is because of the trade secrets and because of this dual protection of patents and trade secrets, we believe there's hundreds of inventions that could be filed as patents. Because of this, it's a very strong strategy that will really disallow any competitors from copying the products. And even if they tried to get close to copying the products, we would have patent protection for every product that goes out. Now, I mentioned in the front end that we talk about the business, the market, the product, technology, but I wanted to spend more time on the product and technology side. So basically what we did is we codified the business needs to actually find out independent sources to show that there is main business drivers of a low noise figures of merit, scalable high-volume manufacturing, anti-hackable security in extreme environments. And there's all these different references, and you can click on these references and see that these business needs are backed up by a third-party result. So that told us that their business needs seems to be the business needs of the industry, which was a check mark. When we take a look at the market, once again, we can see the third-party references of where wireless receiver markets are headed to $4 billion, IoT $520 billion, global cybersecurity $116 billion, and in the blockchain and the global enterprise quantum computing 30%. So all these markets are once again backed up by third-party sources. So once again, another check mark. So going backwards to the slide, we understand the business needs, and they're backed up by real markets that AmpliTech is in. I'd like to get into the products that AmpliTech is building, has built, or will be building. On the custom low noise amplifier, of course, we have designs that they can develop for standard state-of-the-art RF components, commercial, SATCOM, space, military markets. And they cover a wide range of frequencies from 50 kilohertz to 40 gigahertz, and eventually they can get up to 100 gigahertz. And these low noise amplifiers will be used as well as medium power amplifiers in all sorts of applications in telecom. Another part is the custom MMIC. As you get to high volume manufacturing and put them in a MMIC, you can now take these and iterate them and have monolithic microwave integrated circuits that will be used for high volume. So now we move into the sort of semiconductor space. And then the specific markets of things like gallium arsenic semiconductor circuits that could be used in the AmpliTrust security, where they have small portable boxes that they use like routers or access points that end-to-end can be at the hardware level secure. And finally, you take all this and reduce it in size, but now you can put it into extremely low temperatures, making it run extremely fast, so they can now retrofit all of their solutions. Things like whether it's CDMA or GSM have retrofittable solutions that can get to low noise if we're really advanced speeds. I mentioned the supporting technologies, and underneath the supporting technologies, we'd like to take you into those technologies in a little deeper detail. So we want to talk about the low noise amplifiers and the filter designs, and then how that plays out in terms of the MMICs, the secure chipsets, and the cryogenic capable designs for manufacturing. So first of all, let's simplify things. Let's take a look at a wireless receiver for those investors and people on the phone that basically might not know what goes into it. Basically, you can imagine you have a receiver like you do in your phone. You also have a transmitter. And receivers are used for RF signals. And imagine, for instance, there's all sorts of signals out there. There's AT&T and then Verizon. And there's also all sorts of stray signals out there. You could be going by a construction site, and there could be a high-frequency field based upon some generator, or there could be an electric storm. So what the wireless receiver needs to do is it needs to filter out one carrier from the next and also to filter out all those stray signals. As it filters out, it's getting rid of signals, which means it's getting rid of information, but it's also getting rid of these signals, but the noise factor maybe start to be higher for the final signal that you want. So what we want to do is reduce the noise as we filter it out. So what we're going to do is look inside the two components of filter and low noise amplifier. As we look inside the filter by itself, we're pleased to find out that there has been decades worth of work involved in figuring out how to create these filters. On the right-hand side, you can see a filter with general stray signals. We build a notch filter that essentially takes out those stray noise signals to get the signal that we want, and that's called a filter. Well, if you want to build a filter from electrical engineering principles, you have to have a lot of technology and knowledge about certain components at a lumped element. So you have resistors, capacitors, and inductors, and by themselves, they have a certain known quantity. And of course, you do research to find out which are the best three to work together and consistently. But there's also the distribution of those elements in a system. So as the signal propagates across the circuit, you could have inductance and capacitance and resistance of the wires between the components. So they've done a lot of work on an engine where they can put in thousands and thousands of lumped elements and understand once it's computed what the distributed element is to actually at the end build a resonator. And a resonator, if you think about it as a tuning fork, that you build a tuning fork for the right frequency, and hence they can build the resonator for the exact right frequency, given the lumped element and distributed element. In order to do that, though, they had to take another jump. The jump they took was recognizing that they should fractionalize the components to get higher accuracy. So they now take an inductor, so instead of having one inductor that has maybe a certain nanohenries, they've fractionalized it into smaller units like Lego blocks, so they can be more specific about the exact amount they want. And they have algorithms to do this, so this fractionalization with the filter network engine gives them a huge advance over the art in building filters. So this is a proprietary engine that they've built with the ability to miniaturize the components with fractionalized algorithms. These are trade secrets for sure that gives them advanced ability to get filters built. Well, the next thing is the low noise amplifier. And Fawad and his team, basically, it was an endless discussion about the trade secrets and the technology that they have. We won't go through every box here, but it's first of all safe to say that there's a lot of things going on inside the low noise amplifier in Amplitech. You might not know that they have a huge library of devices, and they have algorithms to figure out which devices to select. They need to be able to match transistors to optimize the impedance of transistors to the components. They actually have low noise figures of merit and methodology to look at all the different gallium arsenic FETs and look inside of them to try to figure out which has low noise. One of the noise figures of merit is called 1 over F noise. As the frequency goes down, the noise goes way up. If you get 1 over F noise in your system, it's incredibly hard to get out. But 1 over F noise relates to the kind of noise that has to do with the physical components, the wires and the semiconductors and the traps and and all sorts of things that occur as defects. So they actually pick components that have the lowest 1 over F noise through arduous testing, and then they use that again before they put it into the low noise amplifier. And that's just not figures of merit of the semiconductor, things like transconductance, drain parameters, et cetera. They also, as you start looking at 1 over F noise, they have an entire 1 over F noise methodology with noise testers and a huge set of capabilities to understand 1 over F noise. Once it's understood, they now can look at different components, and now they can take that knowledge and their algorithms and build them into semiconductors. And so they have, as a foundry would, they can select the right foundry because they can build circuits for themselves in a topology and lay it out based upon the foundry's capability. And these processes that they have produce things that are repeatable, and we're not talking about just repeatable functionality. In order to get the repeatable functionality, they go to the absolute understanding of the length of the wires that they use to connect between the components. They go deeply into the bonding of those wires to each other, and they also do a lot of tuning of the discrete components, the distributed nature of the filter and low noise amplifier, and then tune it. And then finally, as we take a look over on the right-hand side, as they deal with things like ultra-wide bandwidth amplifiers, they have matching network technology there that allows them to optimize all the inductive components. And then they finally end up in this customized design package with those basic abilities to kind of look at reduced resonance, et cetera. And they even get to the level of a very sophisticated technology of TEM and quasi-TEM. TEM is a transverse electromagnetic wave. If you ever look at a coax line, you have basically a horizontal component of magnetic and a radial component of electric. It's a TEM. But that TEM can be different when you're going through a microstrip, which they do, where the signal can be propagated differently within the material and in the air across that material, so they have sort of a quasi-TEM. This is advanced math and advanced technology. Fouad was not kidding when he spent 20 to 30 years in this space. He has a lot of knowledge in the space. But the markets that this applies for, blockchain, quantum computing, security encryption, 5G, 4G, even 6G, and a large market for IoT and all the life sciences, there's huge applications. One of the things about this wireless receiver is not only do all these market applications exist, but they exist in many use cases, consumer, enterprise, and ruggedized and military. And it's not only all of those different markets against all those different use cases as a cross-section, but it's also they can build it in the transmitter or the receiver or combinations thereof. So that cube, if you will, of the markets versus the use cases for transmit or receive provides an enormous capability of changes of market. The question is which market to go after and where it's really needed. But their basic filter technology and low noise amplifier technology allows them to play in any one of those cross-sections. Finally, as we get towards the intellectual property, I had mentioned that we picked some assets out. And not to go through these in any detail, but we picked the top 11 that could be written up as patents, but there's a whole bunch of areas for trade secrets, as I mentioned. This library model of low-noise amplifiers, there's over 800 of those. There's many trade secrets in the filter network miniaturization algorithm, and also the know-how of how to manage and test and know which suppliers are good and which aren't. In 405, there's methods to produce the high-volume automated manufacturing of the MMIC, and methods of working with the foundries even. And that's a lot of know-how and trade secrets. And then they have systems and hardware for security for each of the 3G, 4G, and methods of encryption. And then they even have methods to make and systems for cryogenic amplifiers at the quantum computing area. So what we did is we took a look at each of those ideas and trade secrets and tried to figure out where they were based upon a subjective understanding by IP Capital of what we considered to be valuable. And we took only the first 50 total inventions, because I mentioned there are hundreds, and we said, let's take that as a sample set. And we recognized that almost 35 to 40% were high priority, meaning these would go right into becoming patents. And of those, there were 10 to 15 that were high priority trade secrets. So basically, we identified 31 potential patents, of which 15 were considered high priority, and 800 trade secrets. As I mentioned, the feedback loop between the final IP and the product design produces an enormous ability to defend against copycats. Once we took a look at those ideas, we said, well, let's just do a cross-check to figure out are the ideas just in one part of the low-noise amplifier or of the filter design. We were once again happy to find out that these ideas were distributed across the entire internal technology of low-noise amplifier and of the filter design. What that means, ladies and gentlemen, is that not only do we have trade secrets and do we have patents that be cross-roughed for protection, that we can also build inside that cube of the market versus the use case of transmit versus receiver. But it also means we can protect various aspects of the landscape. So we have a very robust ability to protect who we think the copycats may be. So in ending the story, we're back to where we begin. As I mentioned, this our method of the IP story that helps to inform investors from the business, the market, the product supporting technology and the IP assets. We always start with the IP assets, trying to get very technically quickly to figure out what the IP assets are about. That then drives us to try to map out and create these landscape pictures of the technologies that I showed you of the low noise amplifier and the filter, and then try to simplify it so investors can understand sort of what they're trying to do and the complexity thereof. We then map that to the products that they are either doing or will be doing, and then we take it from the other side to say, does it make sense? Is there real business there for things like low noise figures of merit and high-scale volume manufacturing, anti-hackable in extreme environments. And by finding third-party data, we were able to convince that there's real business need there. Then the next question is money to be made? So we then looked at the market that would support those, and we found out there's huge markets in the area of wireless receivers and in Internet of Things and defense and security and then quantum computing and blockchain. So in a tight package, we got convinced that they had great intellectual property from trade secrets and potential patents that we could write, that they know what they're doing inside the technology of low-noise amplifiers and filters with huge years of experience, with this incredibly powerful IP kind of product feedback loop, that once they get the IP assets in place, they already have the trade secrets with the patents, That gives them further leverage to find out new products that can be designed within that massive sort of market capability of applications. Thanks very much, and I will turn it back over for questions. And I will leave us on this slide here to talk about.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing star then one on your touchtone phone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, it is star one to ask a question. We'll pause a moment to allow questions to queue. And once again, that is star one to ask a question. We'll take our first question from Zeus Mihailis. Please go ahead.
Hi, Fawad. Thank you for taking my question. So, looking at this presentation and hearing it out, it's quite technical. And so I'm wondering here, what's the purpose for this exercise going forward? Are you saying that the company will pursue filing potentially up to 30 patent applications and then try to license some of this intellectual property once it's protection is granted, license it for royalties upfront license fees, or are you saying we're going to spend, you know, X amount of dollars to build a wall around our technology before we really scale up into these markets? What is the immediate or near-term financial impact on the company here going forward?
That's for a question for me, for Fawad?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, right now, basically, this is to get the information across that the Amplitech has in possession, not only trade secrets, but very valuable technology that can be patented. And it's not something that we're going to do all at once and patent all 31 patents or whatever it is. We're obviously going to take one step at a time and see, as John pointed out, focus on the technologies that are going forward right now, and then proceed in developing these products for us, finalizing them, and pursuing patents when necessary. It's not something that we're going to jump into right now and just spend a lot of money just developing patents. So this is basically informative to make our investors understand that we have technology that's not something that we just talk about. That's something it's in play, and that's going to be in play in the near future, and we will support as we go along, as we develop the product to protect it, then we will go after the patents.
Okay, so without putting words in your mouth, sounds like you're going to go after the lowest hanging fruit with the protecting the future revenues of the company. That is, the company will manufacture its own products. Generally, you're not talking about filing a number of patents and then trying to immediately, either exclusively or non-exclusively, license those out for royalties or upfront license fees. What your the strategy here is to go after the lowest hanging, get patents where appropriate, and then develop the products internally and address the markets internally. You're just building a wall and a moat.
Yes. Yeah, I think Wayne is one of our board members. I don't know, Wayne, do you want to add something to that?
No, I think, Fawad, it might be worth mentioning one or two practical examples of what we're looking at, you know, e.g. cryogenic or wireless, you know, infrastructure. I think there are some specific things that we're going to go after, and whether we file patents ahead of that or not, I think shareholders are most interested in, you know, commercially, where are the real opportunities? Where is the low-hanging fruit? So, Fawad, you might want to just touch on one or two of the things that you think are, most likely in the near to medium term?
Yes, so most of all this technology, most of it is already developed. So the lowest hanging fruit right now, we're going after the wireless connectivity business, which is the wireless base stations and towers, and also the SATCOM business. SATCOM business is booming right now. Lots of companies are putting up satellites and trying to develop a Skynet and as well as a high-speed data satellite networks. So we already have those products, and we're already supplying these products as the go-to LNA guys for all these advanced projects that all these companies are doing, like Google, Viasat, and all these other customers. So that's our low-hanging fruit. We already have the LNAs in that form, but what we're trying to show is that we're going to get into the larger volume applications, and that's what takes a little bit of development, and we have to make sure that we can protect those, and this is how we are going to protect them when we get into those larger volume applications. So right now, we definitely have a nice revenue stream coming in from our products that we have right now, but we're going to be going after all these other larger markets. And as we go and we develop each product in those larger markets, that's when we're going to seek patent protection so that the company is safe. And we don't have any particular models, but those models for licensing or manufacturing will be decided upon when we get to that point.
Okay. Well, it will be really nice going forward to keep us updated on a either regular basis or when the timing is right. But you know, with these product press releases, very often they're called design wins and so on. So, for example, if you decide to file a patent or two, maybe put out a press release and tell us, hey, we filed, or hey, it was granted, and we are entering this or that market. And I'm talking about, you know, formal press releases other than quarterly or annual press releases. So, you know, we see how the company is growing over time. And when you mention near to medium term, what is that in your mind? You know, let's say 2 to 3 months from now, 6 months from now, should we start seeing some news flow, some potential design win announcements based on these technologies here?
Hopefully sooner, but there's a lot of things that are in play right now. And, you know, it's just basically market conditions that determine when it will happen. So we cannot exactly guarantee when it's going to happen, but everything is already in play. It could happen any time. So it's hard to say when, but, you know, we're definitely looking for a good quarter, and we're definitely looking for growth in not only product lines, but everything to make the company grow in the right direction.
Uh-huh.
So you have already
May I ask you? May I ask you if it's appropriate, if it's okay, you know, whether any addition, intellectual property came from specialty microwave, something that Amplitek didn't have, you know, complementary, and was it reviewed by this engagement?
Not yet, but that there, almost everything in specialty microwave is intellectual property, because that's what the name is, the specialty microwave. They're a very special company that does special things, and their basis. Their base business is in satellite components and supporting the SATCOM business. Their largest customers are all these customers that provide data, as well as TV stations and news coverage and all those things. So their components are behind every receiving antenna for many of these kinds of applications for SATCOM. So as that grows, what our goal is to grow this business tremendously, because now we can support our regular customers with not only LNA products, but also with products that are going to be the larger chunk of that whole chain behind the antenna. So it's a whole slew of new products, and specialty is geared for that kind of application. So they have a unique product line.
Excellent. So there's a whole lot more IP coming from them that wasn't even you know, reflected on this presentation.
Yes.
Okay, final question. How many, should we say, engineering and R&D staff did you bring into Amplitek through the acquisition? How many new employees that you would specialized knowledge and bring intellectual property to the new Amplitech from specialty microwave? How many new engineers and IP, guys, so to speak?
Well, they're not all engineers, but we have at least two engineers that have done that design technology for many years, and the rest of them are all support groups.
Okay, so all of them. How many people are we talking about?
There are eight people in that company.
Excellent. Okay. Okay, great.
The idea is that the services that they provide, they have their own manufacturing services, they have their own machine shops, and they have things that are able to support our manufacturing and our resources. So it's a good fit where we come out with much more product line and we share the resources so we can lower the cost for the company together.
Okay. Fantastic. And would you be able to put this presentation in a PDF format on the Amplitech website, maybe even tweet it out, if that's okay? So, we can download a PDF to our own computers.
Yeah, we can do something like that for a limited time, or we can just send it to specific, have a request to have it send it to specific investors who are looking for it. It's up to you.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you very much for putting together this call going forward.
You're welcome.
Once again, that is star one to ask a question. We'll pause in a moment to allow further questions to queue. It appears we have no further questions at this time.
Yeah, I guess there's no more questions, so I think we can end the call, I guess. Wayne, anything to add?
No, that's great. Thanks, Fawad. I think this is very helpful, and we'll look forward to making further releases as and when things develop. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, everyone, for attending the call. We appreciate it, and stay tuned.